Hey Sarah.
Hey Lauren.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Quarter Life Crisis. Today we have on Ashley Pendleton. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me here today. I really appreciate it. My name is Ash Pendleton. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm currently a junior at the U of A studying public health, focusing on environmental and occupational health. So that's super cool. A couple more things about me. I'm super involved on campus. A lot of my time goes to that, which is fun. And I really like puns. I have 25 fish. And I think that's all you need to know. Oh, and I can solve a Rubik's Cube
that's
10 out of 10 times.
So. Damn.
Slight up boost there. That's not a word. Cut that one out.
No,
that's
we're going to keep
word.
It.
Okay.
I liked it.
Oops. All right.
So what's your quarter life crisis, if you have one?
I would say my quarter life crisis actually isn't something that I'm currently facing, which is really cool to acknowledge, but over the past few years of my life, definitely surrounded around depression earlier on in high school, but more so anxiety and how that anxiety affected my physical health as well as mental, emotional, and socially really affected me too.
Can you kind of describe depression, anxiety, like stuff like that? I feel like people, like, they know about it, but they don't really know what that really means.
Yeah, at least, like, your experience, like, how that affected you, what it was like.
So, for me, when it came to depression, there's a very clear and distinguished line between just sadness and depression. A really good way that I kind of explained it was it almost felt like a blanket over you. Like kind of, I even say ominous, like this ominous cloud that is just over you all the time. And it bums you out completely. Like I truly felt like when I visually look back on my life, it just felt dark. Like just was drained, emotionally exhausted all the time. I could seriously take hour long naps and still take like a full night of sleep that night. It really, it constricted my ability to be with people socially, which is really hard for me because I am such a social person. So it would be things like taking a 2-hour nap in the middle of the day and having like a lunch date set up with someone and then having to cancel like 5 minutes before because I just could not like get myself out of the house. And so that was more depression, like this numbing feeling of just like being like apathetic and sad and just like low and blue. It's kind of generic. That's the way I describe it. Anxiety was a very different feeling. Depression I experienced more earlier on, kind of like high school. Coming into college was definitely a lot more anxiety and panic attacks. For me, it was very, very interesting because it's hard to explain it. I kind of like, you can't see it. I'm doing this weird motion where I'm like grasping my fingers and stuff. But it's like this constant like wound up tightness of just like, oh my God, I'm going to explode type of thing. Cause you just have so much like built up inside of you. And for me, the way I would explain it is you could be sitting here talking to me, looking at me now, and I would feel completely normal. But on the inside, it would just be like, you know, in those, I think there's an episode in SpongeBob where he's looking for a file in his brain and they're all the mini SpongeBobs like ripping everything apart, like going insane, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's how it feels on the inside. It's just a bunch of mini Ashes like freaking out everywhere. And so I would be sitting in lecture or going grocery shopping, literally doing normal things, sitting there completely normal, but in my mind was like freaking out about literally anything. Sometimes in lecture when my health was really bad, it would be like almost like fearful for life, if that makes sense. Like I would get like a slight twang in my head. Like, you know how you just experience, like just quick feelings of pain over your body and it goes away and it's nothing. But I would experience that and I would be like, oh my God, I'm having an aneurysm right now. I'm going to die. It's going to happen. I'm having an aneurysm. And like having these thoughts of like, I'm going to die. Like, this is how I feel. Like, I feel so crazy right now. And then even grocery shopping being like, it's kind of like you're at a prisoner of it because you're so incapable of knowing how to handle it. Like, I remember going grocery shopping, literally just grocery shopping, and walking to my car and then calling my dad and just having a total breakdown and just crying because it was so overwhelming for me to be in that situation, even though it's just literally walking down an aisle with your grocery cart picking up some bread. Like, so it really does, like, it affects everything, and it very much so is something that you don't see in another person, because there are lots of instances where I could be experiencing anxiety and really suffering from it, but no one can tell because it's just all inside.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the differences between depression and anxiety for me.
Gotcha. How did you kind of, when did you decide, or how did you start dealing with that and like figuring out like how to deal with it, I guess? Yeah.
Not very well.
Okay.
At the beginning, my first bouts of depression hit me about sophomore year of high school. That's where I struggled a little bit more with self-harm and all of that. And it came in many different forms. Honestly, cutting was kind of what I first resorted to, which is something that I'm obviously not proud of. Eventually, it kind of, I really don't talk about this, honestly. I'm kind of glad I get to share. I've only told one person besides my parents, but it even resorted to like hitting. Like, I would feel so much shame and just, like, almost even, like, hate for myself that I felt like I needed to feel physical pain to match that emotional pain. So I would, like, hit myself. Like, I gave myself black eyes and, like, bruises. I'm pretty sure, like, I had, like, a concussion. And, like, my parents knew it, too. Like, they would walk in the room and they're like, what are you doing? Like, we can hear this. And it's just, and it totally makes me sound crazy. That's why I don't share it. But it's, like, I literally did not have the capacity to know what else to do. And so I didn't handle it very well earlier on in high school. My Nana knew about it, which was nice while she was still alive. She really was an advocate for me who was kind of like, okay, I understand. We won't tell your parents, but you need to tell me about it and we need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really was more of a place where I wasn't getting help. I wasn't talking to anybody. My parents didn't know. And I was kind of like battling with it on my own, which, you know, plug in here, therapy. I really didn't even start to go. I went in high school for a little bit, but I emotionally, mentally was just, like, not for it. I was like, this isn't going to help. What's the point of me going? I would kind of go and sit and have a conversation, not do anything. But it wasn't until my sophomore year of college, after experiencing a lot of health problems and a recent breakup, where I was like, you know what? I need therapy. This is going to be good for me. And that was where I really went into an open mind. And the point of therapy is not being it for your life. If you have a therapist that just keeps wanting you to come back, drop them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to teach you personal techniques on how to, like, battle when I do experience emotions with anxiety. And I honestly say I was in therapy for 3 months, and it has completely changed my life. Like, I know Lauren can attest, being freshman year roommates, like, my mental health this junior year, like, doesn't even compare to, like, last year, the year before, and it was learning those techniques and learning how to incorporate those into my daily life that I still have anxiety, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much lower. I don't even have depression at all anymore, but it's still, like, when I do feel anxiety, okay, I know how to, like, self-talk myself out of it. I know how to, like, breathe and calm down and handle
Dang.
It. So, yeah, it's just learning coping mechanisms, really important.
Yeah. What were your triggers to, like, enacting the physical, like, harm to yourself? Like, what triggered you to do that in those moments of, like, I need to feel this physical pain, you know?
I'm not gonna lie. Growing up, especially in high school, I had a very low sense of self. I had very low self-esteem. I did not like myself. I physically, like, hated myself. And hate's a really strong word. I don't like to use it. But I would look in the mirror and I would hate what I saw. And I would cry, like, getting ready for school. So because of that, I think I became very dependent on boys and how they thought about me and how many liked me and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say a lot of triggers were honestly from social things, whether that was a boyfriend or a friend. So one trigger that I remember specifically, kind of a little more detailed and probably warranted, but I remember I had a really, this was senior year of high school when my Nana was sick with cancer and I was in a very toxic relationship. Like, looking back on it now, very toxic. And I remember I had an argument with a really good friend of mine, and basically, like, text conversations pretty much ended with, like, we're not friends type of thing. And so I remember, like, calling my boyfriend at the time, like, just, like, cussing, like, I don't effing understand and all this stuff, and just going off on it. And I literally just remember him being like, well, you're abusive and all this stuff. And it was a trigger because I don't even know, honestly. I was just so incapable of understanding that response that the only way I've ever explained it or put it is I straight up blacked out. Like, all I remember thinking is that there were scissors on the floor, and then that was kind of it. And then next thing, I was in the bathroom, like, cleaning myself up, crying.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's scary and all that, but it truly was, it was a moment of a loss of self-control where
mm-hmm.
I just lost myself in it. It was like, this is happening. And it just happened.
do you just start regaining that control, like, as you improve? Like you don't struggle with depression anymore, and so that's not, like, something you go to, just go away as you...
I don't know
if that makes sense.
No, I think a good way to generalize it is the more coping mechanisms I learned on how to handle a stressful situation, because even the most recent time that I hit myself, like, I don't like to admit, was this August when I crashed a new car, that I hit a pole in a new car. You were there.
Yeah.
I didn't even have it a week, and that sent me into a spiral, and it was only for, like literally 5 minutes, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this to myself anymore. But it really was taking those mechanisms to be like, okay, the situation is overwhelming and stressful, and I'm so upset, but, like, I don't need to harm myself. That's not going to better the situation, and I can breathe through it. I can think of my outcomes. I can take a break and, like mentally just calm down and stuff. And so I think a lot of what triggered the physical part of my mental health was an inability to truly, like, cope with an overwhelming and stressful situation. And so therefore it just turned inward of, like, I don't even know how to physically comprehend, how to, like, mentally comprehend this. So I turned it into, like, a physical thing, if that makes any sense.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes, I mean, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Like, what are the, like, coping mechanisms now that you use to, like, get yourself out of that?
Yeah. A lot of it is self-talk.
Okay.
There's a really great book. Actually, I haven't read it. My mom's talked about it. But and I love the title. It's called Battlefield of the Mind. And truly, sometimes, especially for those who struggle with mental health, it is a battlefield of the mind. Like, yeah, an example is I was at a festival this past weekend, and I'm always kind of sitting there with my anxiety. It comes with, oh, what if something bad happens? Like, not to touch on a sensitive subject, but shootings at festivals, I always get stressed out about that. And it's constantly that, like, okay, no, Ash, that's, you're fine. It's not going to happen. If it does, you're prepared types of things. So a lot of it has become self-talk. Something my therapist really talked to me that helped a lot was when I'm feeling moments of anxiety of, oh, I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to have an anxiety. Things, and really reiterating that self-talk language to not, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm losing my voice there, sorry. Not like, I'm going to die, I'm having an aneurysm, but changing it to, I feel like just such simple change in words of, okay, I feel like I'm having anxiety right now. This anxiety is making me feel like I'm, like, getting sick. And really changing it to, this is anxiety happening, this isn't real life. So that helped a lot. Like, walking into exams, I'm always like, okay, I'm feeling stressed about this exam, but I know that an exam doesn't define me as a person, and I know that I'll have other chances past this to do better. So the self-talk has really helped a lot, and breathing. Honestly, us naturally as humans in this highly paced world, we do not breathe. Specifically women, we're kind of always sucking in, you know? keeping
holding
that,
the tummy.
Yeah, holding the tummy flat. So we don't breathe enough. We really don't. So just really learning to, okay, I'm feeling, like, ramped up in anxiety, breathe it out. And truly knowing how to take deep breaths and, like, not even that, but catching yourself in the moment of, okay, I'm experiencing anxiety. It's really easy just to get lost in it and then just, like, lose yourself.
Yeah.
Something else that's more new that I always love to talk about is the tapping method. Kind of hard to explain over a podcast, but highly recommend anyone who's struggling with it to test the tapping method. What it is, it's a series of tapping pressure points on your hand and your head. So as you're kind of, like, going through, okay, I'm feeling stressed right now, and you're tapping these pressure points, it's scientific research done that it relieves pressure and stress and anxiety, and it's a way for you to really, like, decompress. They're incorporating it in some type of schools now, I think, too, but it's a new method that's coming out with therapy that helps so much. So it's really easy for me to walk around campus, and I could be panicking, and no one would know, and I'm just sitting there tapping my hand, self-talking, and it completely winds me down, and I can be out of it in, like, 2 minutes.
That's cool. I've never
heard
of that.
Really, yeah, I haven't heard of that either.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool that they're integrating it into schools, too, because, yeah.
High stress environment
nowadays. Yeah,
especially.
Sorry.
Especially because so many students and kids have anxiety and, like, mental health problems these days.
Oh, yeah.
Younger and younger.
Fun fact, the average amount of anxiety that a high school student experiences nowadays, like, the average would literally put you in a mental asylum back in the 1960s. Like, that's how much more anxiety and mental health we have nowadays based on literally social media, technology, high-paced, fast environment, so much pressure.
Dang.
All of it.
I also like that, like, tapping, like, you can do it so indiscreetly, like, so people, sorry, my contact's, like, freaking out. I'm not crying. but, yeah, it's cool that it's so, like, discreet and, like, like, you can, you don't need to explain to anyone else what's going on. You can just,
And even sometimes at this point in my life, I'm just so comfortable in who I am. I'm just, like, openly tapping on my face, like, walking around campus. I'm like, people could be judging me, but I need it right now. They can ask me questions. Like, it doesn't matter.
I feel like I've seen you do this, but I didn't know what it was. I thought you were just, like, itching something.
It's like pressure points on the top of your head and then your forehead, and then you go to your cheeks and then your upper lip, your chin, your chest, and then your armpits.
I've definitely seen you do like upper lip, chin, I think.
Yeah, that's like me like going through the
pressure
points.
You were just like itching stuff.
Yeah, it's easier now too because I have longer nails, so I'm like, okay, it won't get oily for my fingers. Yeah, I can actually like tap my face.
That was like a thing. Oh, that's cool.
Well, think about acupuncture.
Yeah.
Basically same thing. So, it's helpful.
So, if you heard Ash say a little while ago, we were roommates freshman year, too.
Yes.
Throwback. It was a fun time.
Yes, fun time.
But during that time, like, pretty early on in, like, freshman year, like, maybe, like,
September.
Not even a month in.
September, yeah.
Like, Ash started getting these really bad hives, like, all the time. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night to hear, like, Ash just, like, crying because, like, she had hives everywhere. But then, like, I also had, like, night sweats, so I didn't sleep well either.
Oh,
so
I remember that.
We would both be up at, like, 3 a.m, like, watching TV because neither of us could sleep. Because I would be really sweaty and Ash would be really itchy. So we'd just be like, well, this is college.
Made the most out of
finally,
it.
Finally, like, yeah. Away from our parents, and we were just having these problems. But so, like, you also had some pretty significant, like, physical health issues from, like, stress and anxiety. If you do, you want to talk about, like, the hives and that's a little more.
Yeah. So I do remember when it first started because we. We went to Disneyland. I think it was right after Disneyland.
Yeah, we went to Disneyland.
We went to Disneyland, and it was super fun, and I had a really fun weekend. We definitely didn't sleep a lot, and we got back the next week, and I got an ear infection in both ears, and so I was very sick. And then I literally remember waking up one night just, like, broken out, and I was like, Lauren, what's going on? Like, we were both up. I think we were calling, like, the nurses 24/7 line, like, outside our dorm room. And so it came out of nowhere, and I always talk about how my Nana's death senior year was the hardest year of my life, but I have to say the time with hives, like, really challenges that. It was one of the hardest times of my life. Because my stress and anxiety was so bad, it truly affected it. I would break out in hives all over my body. And when I say everywhere, I'm talking everywhere. Like, in nooks and crannies where things shouldn't be, I had hives. And it wasn't even just, like, having a weird kind of gross-looking skin disorder that you're kind of embarrassed to, like, go to class with and all that, but it was the physical pain. Like, they were so unbelievably itchy and burny and just burning, like, everywhere, and I couldn't get rid of it. I would take freezing cold showers and be so cold and shivering, but I could still feel the burning on
my
skin.
Gosh.
And I tried everything. I tried oatmeal baths. I tried baking soda. I tried really cold showers. I took so much Benadryl that I would literally take, Lauren can attest to this, I would take 4-hour naps every day and still sleep at night because I was just on so much Benadryl. And in the end, after like a year in this, I built up a tolerance to Benadryl, and I actually had to go on a different antihistamine because I could take, like, 2-3 pills of Benadryl, and it wouldn't do anything anymore. And so that was definitely, it was hard for a while. It definitely ramped up during the semester and the summer. It cooled down a bit, and during the summers when we did a bunch of testing, like, all this blood testing, like, what am I allergic to? We were even thinking originally that it was a spray that they used
in
campus rec.
Yeah, we thought it was an allergy.
Yeah, we thought it was allergies, and we thought maybe it was something they cleaned the dorm room with, and we're like, maybe it's Tucson, and then I broke out in, like, Strawberry, Arizona, so I'm like, it's not Tucson, and all this stuff, and we did all the medical research. I found out I was gluten and dairy intolerant, so I cut everything out of my diet and still was breaking out in hives. And they did not end until I was finally in therapy.
Wow.
So, like, that really, like, it's been May.
I did have breakouts recently, actually, about a week or two ago. For a solid week, my stomach was breaking out, and it was because I had a really stressful exam that week, and I was stressing out all week, and I'm not even kidding you, as soon as that exam was over, even just hours after, like, already completely diminishing. And so, it's really stressful time, and it was so hard, and it really impacted me socially as well. Like, my mom put it really well. I was living at a deficit every single day. Like, I was not 100% every day. I could only function at, like, 60%, 70%, because I was held back so much physically, and it held me back with academics, too, which really sucks. University is not very forgiving when you miss class often, and you can't.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to a doctor, because you already know you're breaking on highs. You really need to go to a doctor to get a note. No, you don't.
Yeah.
I literally, at the point, I would email my doctor and be like, can you please send me a note? I can't go to class. But, where was I going to go at this point? Pretty much, it was... my mom puts it so well now. I talk about my mom a lot. She's amazing. She really helped me through it, but it was my, like, body's, honestly, last cry for help, because I wasn't taking care of myself, like, mentally.
Yeah.
Because I moved states. I moved from a school of 800 to school of 4,000. Next year, my nana was sick with cancer and passed away. I was in a toxic relationship. Very next year, I was already in a completely different place. Like, we don't acknowledge enough how stressful the transition to college is. Because I always talk about how smooth my transition was and how easy it was for me, but it clearly wasn't. Like, it clearly put stress on my body that I wasn't aware about. And it was all of these three transitions that I never received any type of help or to talk to anyone about, I think built up so much that my body's only way to finally be like, you need help, was to break out. And I just had this continuous breakout. And even recently, breaking out that test, I was like, I'm so happy that I did have that experience and that I do know what it means now. Because as soon as that started to happen, I was like, you know what? I should probably drink a little less alcohol and a little more water. And I should probably take care of myself. And so I started doing, like, face masks every night and, like, watching a show I really liked, or really paying attention to how much water I was drinking and, like, managing my stress. And it's now a tool that I can use for my mental health to really notice that, okay, I have a couple hives on my arm. I should probably really take it down for a weekend and just relax and take care of myself. So it was really hard in the beginning there, and it honestly was one of the suckiest seasons of my life.
Yeah.
But now it's become a great tool in learning how to take care of myself as I do transition into the adulthood. The ominous adulthood.
Yeah.
So would you attribute, like, your hives going away to therapy just like lowering your overall stress level?
Yeah, I would say therapy, but also my work too. Like, therapy is never gonna solve it all. It definitely took me going to therapy, but finally being in the mindset of, okay, I want to work on myself. And it ultimately did happen. I totally remember making a pact with myself as soon as I went through that breakup of, I'm going to focus on myself for the next year, and I'm going to work on myself. And it really took that year to completely change, like, not only my hives physically, but honestly my whole persona. I'd say, like, even me last spring just doesn't even compare to the person I am today, which is really neat and cool to even notice that own growth in myself. But
that's really cool.
But yeah, it really took going to therapy and investing that time and money and really listening to her and taking those techniques and then truly incorporating that in my life. And honestly, you hate to say it, but end of the semester really helped too. Like, just having that summer break where I was like, I can work on myself and de-stress and not have to do 15 assignments a week.
Yeah.
So that it, yeah. To answer your question in short, self-work.
Where would you say you're at now, like, with mental health and,
oh man,
just like,
everything.
On a scale of 1 to 10. I don't know, not everything, because that'd be probably too much, but...
Everything? On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say 8, and that's only because
that's
we're
really
in that...
Good.
We're in the pool, and we're in the time of the semester when it's the most
it's
stressful,
yeah.
And I am super involved, and don't get me wrong, I love it, but ever since spring break, I have not had a week or a weekend off. Like, I just feel like I'm constantly go, 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 go. And a lot of it is my fault. I say yes to everything now. And even my mom's like, you need to say no every now and then. I'm like, I can't. FOMO. I have to go. But I would say an 8 for that. But otherwise, once the semester ends, like, honestly, a 9 or a 10. I've really gotten my anxiety down. I truly would say, I'd say there's a difference. Like I say, there's a difference between sadness and depression. There's a difference between happiness and joyfulness. And I'd say that you can feel joy in your heart and still feel sad.
And I say that, like, my joy in my heart is just so rock solid. And I'm very secure in, like, who I am.
Cool.
And just how to, like, work through most things in my life I can handle. You know, I'm like, throw it at me.
Yeah.
I can handle it.
That's great. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I have you a... You have a question?
I have a question.
But you
but
want to save it till the end?
It's a wrap-up question.
Okay. Yeah, what advice would you give to someone struggling with, like, bad mental health, and, like, what would you, how would you recommend, like, their peers to help them?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know how to help their friends, because
totally.
They're like, oh, I don't want to, like, get too involved or, like, make them feel pressured by, like, helping, you
yeah.
know? But it's like, where's that?
Okay, I'll address, like, to the person struggling and then to the
yeah,
friends.
Yeah.
But I would say to people struggling, first of all, you're not crazy. I can't tell you how many times I felt like I was crazy, and I would just tell myself that, like, oh, I'm crazy. You're not. It's normal. A lot of people go through it. You're not alone. Two, definitely, I'd say getting therapy, but a lot of it is reaching the point of understanding yourself where I need help, because you can pay for therapy and you can go through it, but if you're not open-minded and you're not willing to, like, truly, like, work on yourself, and when I say work, I mean work. Like, you can't sit in there and talk to a therapist and then just expect everything okay. Like, you really have to work on how you're living and thinking. So if you reach that point where you're like, I need help, and that's really awesome, then yes, I'd say go to therapy, get the techniques you need, and really talk to your therapist and be like, I need ways to cope with, like, X, Y, and Z in my life. I need ways to incorporate that. And then practice them and, you know, just take care of yourself. Seriously, I say face masks. I love face masks. They're the way that I really feel like I'm treating myself. Like, face masks, yoga, working out, like, those are kind of the best ways to do it. And going to friends, if you have, like, you were one of, like, the closest friends I would go to about that. I have another friend who's also struggled with mental health. Like, really find people who you know have struggled with that and talk to them, because they're going to be so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing against no one who hasn't struggled through it, but you really have a completely different perspective when you've gone through what they're going through. And then to friends, just be self-aware of your friends, I guess, and where they're going. Like, if you really start to notice someone, like, being reclusive and, like, not going to class or not responding, their personality is changing, whatever, just notice those little changes in your friends, because something could be going on. A lot of times it wasn't even that I didn't want to tell someone what was going on. I felt literally an incapability of telling someone. Like, there was something mentally blocking me from, like, reaching out to people.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. It, like, even if we were to make this religious, like, the devil literally, like, makes you completely impossible of, like, reaching out for people.
Yeah.
Like, he stops you. And so just really don't be afraid to reach out to your friend. Don't overdo it. Say, hey, like, how are you doing? Sometimes that's all you need, and then you just break down crying. You're like, everything's awful, like, all of this. But definitely how you're doing, check up on them every now and then. Even if you notice they're struggling, like, often be like, hey, do you want to go work out this weekend? Like, do you want to go on a hike? And if it gets serious enough, like, don't be afraid to seriously ask them how they're doing and if they need to talk to someone. And even offering, I can go to you with that therapy appointment, sit in the car and pick you up if you need me to. And just being an advocate, because I think the way that, like, my family and my friends, like hard, like, you're awesome, Sarah, but hard shout out to Lauren
yeah.
here. Like, the people that really support me through that are the reason that, like, I am here today and better. Like, it takes a village. I always say that. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to go through anything hard in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So just being that village and supporting and loving someone, even though they're not fun at that point. Because, yeah, I was sucky. I was not fun to be around, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But doing that, it's going to be so rewarding in the end when you can see how much they've improved and they're so much happier, and then you get the fun moments with them. So just
yes.
don't leave someone if they're in a hard time of life. Stick through it.
I have a kind of a follow-up question on that, because I know in high school I dealt with this a lot, being like, a friend of people to mental health, but they didn't want to, like, go to their parents. They didn't want anyone to know about it, so that just kind of progressed and didn't, like, they would talk to, like, my friends or me about it, but they were, like, super against, like, getting anyone as an adult involved. How would you, like, looking back on your high school experience, how would you kind of deal with that if you were that friend?
Yeah, I would say more so towards anyone in high school than in college, but from where I was at, honestly, if I was my friend in high school, if I knew it was happening, I knew that, you know, Ash was self-harming, I knew that she was struggling with this, as much as it sucks, sometimes if you see your friend not really getting the help and not acknowledging and suffering, really suffering, go tell an adult. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's hard, and that friend might be angry at you for a while, but ultimately, and I hope most people will come to that realization where they're like, dang, I really needed that. I kind of wish someone would tattletale me a little bit. They did. No, actually, I totally forgot that. I did have a friend tattletale. She told her mom, and her mom and her called me, and they got me on the phone, and they were like, we're not going to hang up now until we tell your parents.
Wow.
And then that was at a point where I was like, okay, well, I don't feel comfortable with you telling my parents, but I will have you talk to my grandma, and I will put her on the phone, and I will let her know, because I am closer to her. And it did. I totally forgot that that happened. It really took that friend calling her mom and getting them on the phone and confronting me to face what was happening. And it is so hard to be in that position. I totally understand that. But sometimes you really have to be the person to just push, because you are so stuck in that state that you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You kind of need that helping man.
Totally.
So if it gets bad enough, also suicide hotline. I've called on other people. So don't be afraid. That's a great resource too.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah.
I wanted to just, we have this last question on the sheet, but I don't know if it fits in here, but I'm really curious about, like, common misconceptions of, like, mental health stuff. I know there's a ton, so could you talk about that?
Yeah.
What you've experienced?
I'm definitely thankful, because I do feel like we are just starting to come into a more open society where the talk about mental health is more common and comfortable.
Definitely.
And is spoken about more often. I'd say it's honestly less about a misconception about mental health versus a misconception about therapy. Like, I feel like there's really the standoffish, like, I don't want to go to therapy, I don't need to talk to a counselor.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of it. And just really knowing that visiting a therapist is like visiting your family physician. It's just taking care of yourself. It's like checking up if you had cancer and all of that. So I think it's really important to know that. And I remember once reading an article, and it was one of the top 10 things that you should see a therapist for. And it was things such as simple as job change, moving states, loss. And loss literally counts for breakups too. My therapist put this so well, and I loved it, that when you break up with someone, you are grieving a person. Like, maybe they didn't die, but you are grieving the absence in your life. And that totally clarified it for me. It was like, oh, it makes so much more sense. That's why I feel happy all the time. So just really noticing that there are such small things in life that we go through all the time and don't acknowledge that we need help with them and we need ways to process. And so I'd say that's a misconception. And I'd say in general, there's a misconception with mental health, like, especially with mental illness, like, it's hard to talk about it because it's like, are you really sick or what? And for me, like, I was unhealthy. Like, I'm a public health major. We always talk about how the five determinants of health are, like, psychological, social, mental, emotional, and physical. And, like, notice mental is in there. Like, part of you being a healthy person is not just, like, eating right and going working out every now and then. Like, your mental health is part of that equation. So I think a big misconception is the fact that mental health goes into taking care of yourself. I think it's kind of left alone. So really knowing that if you are mentally unhealthy, you have something going on, that is totally fine and you're not alone. And even things with more serious mental illnesses like schizophrenia and stuff, a lot of it goes to, I took an amazing class, Construction of Disability and Mass Media. Super long name.
I took that too.
Yeah, it's a super cool class. But I loved how they talk about schizophrenia and all of that, and how movies and our media has over, like, dramatized everything that has to do with that, to really there is a stigma of, like, okay, if you have this, you're crazy. And it's not true. You're just unhealthy. And that's fine. You just need to work at making yourself healthier. And it's a process, and it takes work. So,
yes. I like how you put that. That's really cool.
Cool.
Do you have anything else you want to add? I'm kind of...
Yeah. Do you have any last thoughts or anything that we didn't go over?
Not really. I like the overall discussion. Just in general, like, I want to make it more of a common conversation talking about mental health
yeah.
and not making it so uncomfortable, because there are truly people who are kind of struggling silently and
mm-hmm.
no one really knows, and maybe they just don't have someone close enough to really be like, hey, dude, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And so just knowing that it is okay to reach out and ask for help. Therapy is an amazing thing. And even on top of therapy, I will add in a bit of advice. Don't be afraid to search around for therapists. It's kind of like finding your nail lady or your hair lady. Just because you see one therapist doesn't mean they're going to be good. And I think that's
right.
a big reason why I hated therapy at first, because I had a couple really bad ones that I just didn't get with. Like, get a session or two with them. If you don't like them, find someone new. Like, it really took me finding a cool therapist here. Not even through the U of A. I actually went to, like, a private person. And I really liked her. I just loved talking to her. She was super understanding. I liked the way we interacted. And there's so many people that probably wouldn't like her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also really important to remember, that therapy isn't a one-stop quick, you know, fix. You kind of got to search around. Like, you know, it takes you a couple months to
yeah.
find your hair lady. You know?
Yeah.
A few tries.
Yeah, a few tries, a couple disappointments, and then you find where it works. So again, like, really having that, like, determined, I want to fix myself
mm-hmm.
mentality.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah,
of course.
Thank you so much
yeah,
for coming on.
Yeah, this was a really good discussion, I think.
Yeah.
No, I love it. I think mental illness should be talked about all the time. So I'm glad you came on.
Yeah.
You're so honest about it.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Thank
you
for giving me the opportunity. I love to speak about my story now, because as it's becoming more of my past and not my current situation, I really feel like it's a platform that I can use to help other people. Like, even in all my tours, I always
yeah.
point out CAPS, Counseling Psychological Services. And I'm like, you guys are awesome. I want you to come to college. But it gets so hard sometimes. We all need help. Just
yeah.
acknowledging
yeah.
that we all need help sometimes. So, thank you.
Sure.
I really appreciate the opportunity to come and speak about it.
Of course.
Thanks. Cool. Well, we're just going to plug our social media and
yeah,
finish off.
Cool.
So, we have an Instagram at podcast.qlc and Facebook page called Quarter Life Crisis.
And we have an email, podcast.qlc@gmail.com. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So go check them all out, and thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
You all say bye.
Bye.